Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There is a house not that far from where I moved that has a doggy door because there's a very large German Shepherd. His name is Max. He is so handsome and he's loud. Oh, heavens, is he loud. When the homeowner, I don't actually know the man who owns him, but when this man got Max, the first year and a half of Max's life, he was a puppy. Boy, did that dog get big fast. You could hear Max barking all over the darn neighborhood. I mean, a square mile was all well within range of Max's bark. And now he is an older dog, four maybe, I think. I can't remember exactly. The dog is huge, but he's so handsome. And once I figured out his name, so for the first couple of years, I didn't know his name. And then there was a neighbor walking by one day who spoke to the dog. And I said, oh, is that his name? And come to find out, most of the people in the neighborhood around, you know, that couple block radius know Max. So I started speaking to Max. According to people who study animals and animal behavior, and certainly this is the case with our own pets, they know your voice. Yes, they know your smell, but if they're not close enough to smell you, they also know your voice. And so I started speaking to Max every time I would walk by the house. And, you know, I'm usually with Penny when I do walk by. And so he would always get loud and barky. And I would try to get him to calm down by speaking to him. And do you know, after a year or so of talking to that dog, he will bark the second he sees me and sees Penny. And then right as I start talking to him, he calms down. It's pretty amazing. Anyway, he's he's this really large German Shepherd, and somehow he fits through this small doggy door. I'm always amazed that his ears look too big to fit through the doggy door. But yeah, he does. He comes barreling out that doggy door like nobody's business. Like, he almost comes like a rocket through that thing. Like, he has to launch himself through the doggy door. He probably does actually have to get it at the right angle. So when I hear the term doggy door, that's what I think of. Max, the speeding bullet, who now wags his tail in response to the sound of my voice. That's kind of cool, huh? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for joining us. Hope you survived your Monday relatively unscathed. I know that means different things to different people. We are live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. Would you like to know our Twizzler Tuesday question? This one has zero to do with sports, and it actually is inspired by, I mean, he's a really nice guy, but as Dave can attest to, so Dave is in the control room tonight, as Dave can attest to, our colleague Shep is he's a bit scatterbrained. He has a great heart and really good intentions, but this man would lose his left arm if it were not attached to his body. And forever he is, we can't really figure out why. It's been going on since Shep started working here. We can't figure out why he prefers to stay here at work as opposed to being in his own apartment or his own personal space. There are times when he just hangs out overnight, not really sure why. I'll just raise my hand and say, I'm the first person to tell you when work is over, I'm out. Like, see ya. Wouldn't want to be ya. But he's so comfortable here. Also, sometimes I wonder what happened to his work clothes because he tends to wear gym clothes to the office. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. So on Sunday night, Monday morning, Shep was hanging out. And the reason Shep was hanging out without going home is because Shep had left his keys with his parents in Connecticut. So just to clarify, CBS Sports Radio is not in Connecticut. He had left his keys at his parents' home. And so his solution was to hang out at the office overnight until he could catch a train back to his parents' home. He looked a little ragged and haggard and just the whole gym shorts and then being up overnight. It's not a very professional look. He's got a good heart. Wouldn't you agree?
I like Shep.
Of course, we all like Shep. Yes.
And it's not the route I would have gone. It was a gesture to his girlfriend, as he said it.
Oh, he has a girlfriend?
So he lives with his girlfriend.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I learned this last night myself. Because I asked, well, why don't you just
go home?
And he was like, well, my girlfriend's already asleep. I'm like, okay, so I gathered they live together. And then he says, I'm like, well, what? I just wake her up. Like, I know she'll, you know, she might be pissed or whatever, but
she'll get over it.
Wake her up.
Yeah.
He's like, nah, I'm going to let her sleep. I'm like, what time does she get up? 7 a.m. Eastern time. I'm like, all right, I'll see you in a few hours.
Now, I didn't hear that part of the story. That's interesting. Here's what I would have done. Pounding on the door until somebody let me in. Or actually, I just did this at my own house, my new house. I hid a key outside because I frequently lock my keys in the house. If there's a way to do it, I'll do it more than once. Same thing with the car. Now, most vehicles they make these days, you can't actually lock your keys in the car. It's really difficult to do. But I do it. I do it all the time. Anyway, so I've already hid a key outside so that I can get to it should there be an issue. But as I was thinking about Shep and leaving his keys in a different state, I thought that will be a great Twizzler Tuesday question. What is the worst, most horrifying, most inaccessible place that you have ever lost your keys? Or let's add this, your cell phone. What is the worst place that you've ever lost your keys or your cell phone? I have stories. Three of them come to mind. And I will only tell you one this hour. And then I'll share the other two with you. Just keeping in mind, of course, that I'm a little bit like Shep. If my arm was not attached to my body, I would likely leave it everywhere I went. So, I mean, I say that with all kinds of affection for Shep, because I am also like that. I can be scatterbrained. Sometimes I lose my keys when I'm holding them in my hand, believe it or not. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So our Twizzler Tuesday question, as we say, go away Monday, and move forward into a Tuesday on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on my Twitter, A-Law Radio. And then also on our Facebook page, easily named after the show, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. So one story I have about losing, I'm trying to think if I want to share the keys or the cell phone story. I'll share the keys story first because we're talking about Shep's personal travail. I once was visiting my brother, lives in Washington, D.C. area. And I traveled home. He took me to the airport. Most of the time I drive, but this particular occasion, I had flown into Dulles because that's the airport that's really close to his house. Flew home from Dulles. No issues. Had no problems whatsoever. Super smooth travel experience. Get on the shuttle. Get out to my car in economy parking. Can't find my keys. And of course, you start to panic. Holy crap. Did I leave my keys on the plane? Did I leave my keys in the seat of the shuttle? Did I drop my keys in the airport? No, it wasn't anything like that. I left my keys on the counter at my brother's house that morning before he took me to the airport. So here I am teasing about Shep leaving his keys in Connecticut where he was in New York City. I mean, at least you're nearby. It's a relatively short train ride. Yeah, not so much with me and my keys. And so my brother, well, my sister-in-law, had to mail my keys to me. Meanwhile, I had to get, let's see, I kept a spare house key in my car, thankfully. It was probably just a total accident. It wasn't like I did it on purpose. But I did keep a spare house key in my car, of course, because like I told you, I locked myself out a bunch. And so I had to have AAA come and get me into the car. Oh, yeah. So it was a keychain, actually, that had a spare house key and had a spare car key on it. And so it was in the car. Again, I know that makes a lot of sense, but that's where it was. So in my glove box, I had a spare set of keys. So I was able to get AAA to let me into my car. So as if I had locked my keys in the car, grab the spare set of keys. Wasn't a house key. It was just a car key. Yeah, just a car key. Grab the spare set of car keys. And then when I got to my house, shoot, I'm trying to think where I had. Oh, I had to have my my landlord let me in. That's what happened. So I had a spare car key in the car, weirdly enough. But I had to have my landlord let me into my apartment at the time. So, I mean, it is doable. I suppose you can always break into your own place. But yeah, I left my keys behind in Washington, D.C. and got on a plane and went home without them. That was fantastic. Anyway, what is the weirdest or worst place you've ever lost your keys? Or we'll tack on cell phone. Oh, I got some good cell phone stories for you too. I've never dropped one in a toilet. So if that's your worst place, well, then you've got me beat. I actually have multiple friends who've dropped their cell phones into the commode. Dave, you're nodding like you have dropped your cell phone in a commode.
Yeah, I have two stories, but we'll start with the cell phone.
Have
one.
You really dropped your cell phone in a commode?
Yeah, accidentally. So I was in high school. It was my first cell phone actually ever. it was my second cell phone because it was one of those flip like StarTAC phones.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't have any pockets on like my basketball shorts that I was wearing. So I just flipped it over like the top of the shorts and I forgot it was there.
OMG.
And then I went to the bathroom and it landed in the toilet.
Oh my God.
It's
what
good
did
place
you do
for a cell phone?
What did you do?
I took it out as fast as I possibly could with my bare hands. I didn't enjoy that all that much, but
you got to do what you got to do,
yeah,
man.
it didn't survive.
Oh, well, I can imagine. But at least you tried. You gave it the old college try.
I tried.
Oh my gosh.
The key story is a good one too.
Yeah. So did you then try to clean off the cell phone in the hopes that it could be spared? It could be revived?
I tried. I tried the hair dryer. I tried everything. I put it in rice. I mean, this is almost 20 years ago.
Did it stink?
You know, so it it wasn't pleasant, but it just instantly died. And it was a great phone. That thing got service in basements. It got service everywhere.
Got service in the toilet.
Yeah, not in the toilet. No. My keys I left in a foreign country, actually. I left my keys in Mexico once. That was fun.
Now, but were you traveling alone, though? I mean, because your wife is from Mexico, so did someone have a set of keys?
So we had some spare keys, and my wife had a set of keys. So when we got back to the United States, we were able to get into the house and luckily had a spare key to the car. But, yeah, got all the way home, very similar, got all the way home. But from Mexico, to realize that an entire set of keys had fallen out of my carry-on bag into one of the bedrooms we were staying in at my mother-in-law's house. So,
did you ever get them back?
Yeah, no, they held on to them because we were coming back like 3 or 4 months later. This was like 2 years ago.
So. It took 4 months to get my keys back.
Yep, luckily we had spares to everything.
Yeah, no, that's the key. That wasn't actually on purpose. That is the key, though, is to make sure you have spares everywhere. So now I'm smart. I've got spare car keys. I've got spare house keys. I've got spare fence keys. I've got spare everything. And that's one of the first things I've done since I moved into my new house is hide them all over the property. And then, so I don't forget where they're hidden, I take a photo on my cell phone. And you know how you can write on your, well, some cell phones, they have those effects that you can put on the photos. And so I have to like circle the area on my phone on the photo where the key is hidden just so I don't forget that either. So
that's smart, though.
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, I know me and I know that you give me some time. I think, oh yeah, I'll remember. Of course I'll remember where they are. Don't you ever do that? You hide it somewhere for safekeeping, anything. And then 2 days later, you can't remember for the life of you where you put it.
That happens all the time.
Oh, yeah, all the time. Anyway, so I've gotten smarter to my Wimmy's things. So worst or weirdest place you've ever lost your keys or your cell phone? I can only imagine the stories you have.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Wondering where to find what you...
Sometimes I have no idea where Dave and Chris come up with the music that they play here on the show, but it's fine. That's their department, not mine. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Coming up still this hour, Kara Lawson as the Duke women's basketball head coach. This is a program with championship aspirations every year when there's not a virus. And it's her first ever head coaching gig. Though, of course, she comes by way of the NBA and by way of the media route, where she's been so well respected, played USA basketball, of course, is also a former Tennessee alum and played for the legendary Pat Summitt. I mean, I've heard her tell the stories, and she's impressive. Everything that she does, she knows the game inside and out, and she impresses you just by talking basketball with you. And so I'm excited for her and excited for you to hear from her after she takes over this Hallmark program. And it's really a big deal for Duke as well to bring her on board. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Our Twizzler Tuesday question is, I'm assuming, going to generate some funny stories, and maybe we can laugh at ourselves, we can laugh at others. I'm okay if you laugh at me. It doesn't bother me even a little bit. Weirdest, wackiest, wildest place that you've ever lost your keys or your cell phone. We'll throw cell phone in there as well. And this is inspired by our colleague Shep. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Eric is listening in Colorado. Eric, what do you got for us?
Hey, Amy. It's not exactly, I didn't lose my keys per se, but it definitely is relatable. So I used to work at a school.
Wait, hold on, Eric. Yeah, something is going on with your cell phone, so you're kind of like bouncing in and out.
I'm sorry. Is that better?
We'll see.
Okay. So I used to work at a school here in Colorado, and I would get these hour lunch breaks, and there's a lake about 2 minutes away from the school that I worked at, so I would just take my lunch breaks going fishing. And even though you weren't technically supposed to do it, you know, I did it for years and never got caught, so it was no big deal. Until one day I was finished, you know, fishing, and I had like 15 minutes before I was supposed to be back, and I went back to the truck and realized that I locked my keys and my phone in my truck, and I was supposed to be back to work in 15 minutes, and the panic that set in, I could say, was probably like what you would feel like if you just saw a ghost. And so I'm sitting there trying to get my door unlocked, and I can't call somebody to help me because my phone's sitting there.
Oh, no.
So I'm running like 10, 15 minutes late, and I'm still trying to figure out how to get in there. And I can see my phone blowing up on the console, my work number just calling me over and over. So I ended up breaking my fishing pole and was able to jimmy it into the door and unlocked it.
Whoa!
Yeah, it was a miracle. It was one in a million. Like, I don't know how I was just dumb luck. And so I got in the truck, and I'm pouring in sweat because I'm panicking trying to get this done. And I get back to work, and so they're saying, well, what happened? Where were you? And I was a maintenance worker, so I just lied, and I said, I ran into a kid that was in the parking lot, and they needed help fixing a flat tire. So, and that, because I looked about that dirty trying to break into my own truck, and they didn't get, and I got away with it somehow. So I was very fortunate, but
yeah,
I don't know if that counts, but that's my crazy story.
That is impressive for sure, especially since you had to break a fishing pole to do it. But sometimes you got to fall on that sword, man.
$120 fishing pole.
Oh, ouch. I think I would have just pled sick for the rest of the day or something.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's always other fishing poles, but man, I just knew the hell I just was like, yep, I got to get back.
There's not always other jobs. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, Eric.
Not ones with pensions and all that. So.
Good to talk to you. Thanks so much for your phone call.
Thanks, Amy.
Just saw this post on our Facebook page. This is gross. Damon from Pittsburgh. I'm a cook. I couldn't find my phone for 15 minutes. I didn't realize it fell out of my shirt pocket until I saw fried wing iPhone combo. Oh, no. He fried his phone. At least he didn't try to serve it to someone with an order of chicken wings. Oh, my gosh. Let's see. Elliot on Facebook, worst situation to lose your keys. My dad and I drove from Michigan to Syracuse to see Jim Boeheim in the Orange at the Carrier Dome. Walked back to the car that was parked miles away only to find out the keys were missing. Checked into the hotel. I stayed in New York while my dad took a plane to Michigan, back to Michigan to get the spare so he could come back and get me and his car in New York. Oh, God. Oh, that's terrible. Talk about a waste of money. Holy cow. But at least you got to stay in the hotel, Elliot. I guess that's the better end of the deal. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Crystal is listening in Dallas. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, how's it going, Amy?
Good.
Yeah, so craziest story. I lost my cell phone was... in high school, I was going to a house party and didn't have a ride to get there, so I decided to take my stepdad's 350Z convertible. And, you know, the night was good, got home. Well, the next day, you know, going to school and I couldn't find my cell phone. Well, it turned out I left my cell phone in my stepdad's driver's seat, and they knew that I had snuck out.
You ratted yourself out.
I had a good time.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. I guess there's no way to plead that I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't go anywhere.
Yeah, that didn't go well. They had proof. So, yeah, I need to say I was grounded for like 2 weeks.
Oh, that was before parents could set up the app on their phones that is like the Find My Phone where they always know. Exactly where their kids are. Yeah, my best friend, she's got two sons who are now in high school, and they can't go anywhere, of course, without her knowing exactly where they are because they're not going to go anywhere without their phones, and she's got the tracking capability on their phones.
Yeah.
But you just,
new age now.
Yeah, you just outed yourself, though.
Yeah.
That's funny. All right, Crystal, good to talk to you. Thanks for your phone call.
Thanks for having me.
Let's talk to Jason, who's in Atlanta. Welcome to After Hours. So, worst place you've ever lost your keys or your phone is what?
Oh, the craziest place I ever lost mine was I was tubing down a river, and I had everything in a Ziploc bag, my car keys, my wallet, and my cell phone, and I lost everything somewhere in the river and had to end up taking, somewhere in the river, never found it. So I had to end up taking an Uber an hour back to the dealership I bought the car at to get another key made.
Oh,
then when I finally got home, I had to pay a locksmith to let me in my house. And then I had to go to the DMV, the bank, everything, get all of my driver's license, debit card, everything redone. So everything.
It's crazy. One mistake, one little thing, and it can literally cost us hours and hours of inconvenience and all that kind of extra stuff that we have to do.
And hundreds of dollars.
Oh, that's true. I forgot about that part. Yes, hundreds of dollars for sure. That would be the part that would hurt me the most, Jason.
Yes.
Oh, I don't know if we can laugh about these things after the fact, but thank you for sharing the story with us.
Yes, ma'am. Y'all have a good night.
You do. Seriously, don't you get so angry at yourself? You do something like this. You cost yourself, as he points out, hundreds of dollars, in some case, maybe worse, if you have to buy a plane ticket to travel back to wherever you can get your spare key. I remember I had just gotten, this is not really a lost story, I knew exactly where it was, but I had just gotten a brand new BlackBerry, 3 weeks old. I was so excited. I was really tired one morning after working a late night shift at my previous network. And I had this giant vat of coffee. I mean, it was a humongous big cup of iced coffee. And I remember I was on my cell phone and I thought to myself, I went to put it up on the windowsill that was above the kitchen sink. And I remember thinking to myself, don't drop your phone in the coffee. Don't drop your phone in the coffee. And all of a sudden, somehow my phone was in the coffee. I still don't know how I dropped. I said to myself, don't drop it. And there it went. 3 weeks in. Marvin's got his own toilet story for us on Twitter. Dave, this is a show of solidarity. My cell phone fell on the toilet. I took it out and dried it off. Luckily for me, it was a clean toilet bowl, and his cell phone still worked. So I guess he got a better quality phone than you. There are some phones out there that are considered waterproof, right? Where you can actually take them in the water if you choose. I don't know that I would, but I suppose now that's not the kind that you had.
Your like 2001 or
your sat phone that was a flip phone 20 years ago. Well, Marvin, you are one of the lucky ones. And I'm sure those of you who drive for a living, meaning like Uber, Lyft, any other kind of rideshare service, I can imagine you all have crazy stories about people who've left cell phones and other things for sure. Tammy on Twitter, left my keys in the back door lock, left out the front door, used the manual lock. Went to grab dinner in Uber, came home, had to call the locksmith, got in, headed out to the backyard. Voila, there were the keys in the back door lock. Oh, that's even worse when you recognize how stupid you were and you didn't even need to. Like when you lose your keys in plain sight or you lose your cell phone in plain sight. And you cost yourself a whole lot of time and probably a big headache as well. So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. I don't love your stories, but I feel like many of us can identify. So inspired by one of our colleagues, worst place that you've ever lost a set of keys or a cell phone. It's better if you got it back, but for the most part, these stories, we're not getting it back. We've cost ourselves big time. 855-212-4227 coming up. Kara Lawson introduced as the new head coach of Duke women's basketball, her first ever head coaching job, and no pressure there.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. Hungry for a taste of the most delicious audio of the night? You came to the right place. It's time for Bite Me with Amy Lawrence. Here's Amy Lawrence.
It is a good thing that Kara Lawson is used to pressure on the basketball court and in her professional life. What an amazing opportunity for the former Tennessee All-American and WNBA champion and USA basketball gold medalist as she takes over her first ever head coaching job at none other than Duke. Now, if you don't know Kara's history, she actually was pushed by her mom to attend Duke as a player, but she chose to go to Tennessee because she wanted to learn from Pat Summitt. And she has taken the media route, though she has done a lot of coaching at some of the lower levels of USA basketball. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. This is kind of funny. Lawson had to do her initial video conference call, being introduced to the media and making remarks about Duke basketball from inside the Orlando bubble because she spent the season as an assistant with the Boston Celtics.
What an incredible moment. Still pretty surreal for me. I do want to thank President Price, Coach K, Coach Cutcliffe, just their impact on me, not only through the process, but relationships I've had with both Coach K and Coach Cutcliffe over the years. Couldn't be walking into a situation any better as a first-time head coach to have those two men as mentors. And so I'm really looking forward to learn from them and enjoy being a part of the Duke Athletics Department.
Kara said that she really got a lot of good advice from Celtics coach Brad Stevens and his wife during this process, and that they kind of helped her flesh out the pros and cons and getting to where she wants to go in her career. Now, she says she's always wanted to coach, but can you imagine? You're not working your way up through the ranks. No, she's never coached in college at all, and she starts at Duke, where Mike Krzyzewski is the men's coach, but she pays tribute to him and really thanks him for the way that he has welcomed her. And also Duke Athletic Director Kevin White, part of that conference call as well. And so it's the new way to do things in 2020, right? Where there's conference calls and there's introductory press conferences and no one is actually in the same place. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
This is a dream come true for me. I've wanted to be a coach since I was a kid, and I guess you would say I took kind of a circuitous route to get there, but I'm here now and so excited about the opportunity to help shape young women, to help grow their games, to help grow their personalities, help them mature throughout their college years. And when I look at Duke University and how special a place that it is, the type of player and person that we have in our program, that we want to have in our program, that we've had in our program, I think that's really important.
From the Duke YouTube channel, Kara Lawson, the new head coach of the women's basketball program. It was a bit of a surprise when Coach McCallie, Joanne P. McCallie, she resigned just, I guess it was just over a week ago. And so they did a search firm that I think had 20 candidates initially. And then they went through with the finalists and they brought those candidates in for interviews or had interviews with those candidates. And then, of course, narrowed it down. And if you ever have spent time either talking to Kara Lawson or if you've watched her do NBA analysis or you've watched her on TV, she is so measured and so analytical about the game, and she communicates so well. She's one of those people that the second you talk to her in person, you really are engaged. I remember when I first met her, we had a mutual friend that introduced us at an event that we were both covering, and I just expected that she would say hello, shake my hand, nice to meet you. That was back when you were allowed to shake hands, and that we would go our separate ways. But instead, she stopped. She stood there. If I remember correctly, she was holding a tray of food because we were in the cafeteria when we met. She actually stopped and asked me a couple of questions about myself and about my situation, and then later sent me a note on a text message because she had gotten my number from our mutual friend just to say how nice it was to meet me and talk to me. I mean, she didn't have to do that. I certainly didn't think of asking for her cell phone number, but she's just so impressive, whether you're talking to her on a personal level or a professional level. And as I say, she's certainly someone who's used to dealing with pressure in the basketball world. Not only, has she played the highest level of her game, whether it's championships, whether it's gold medal contests, obviously playing at Tennessee comes with a certain cachet, but how about being a female assistant coach in the NBA? How about working in an arena where there are very few females, being on national TV and everyone listening and being willing to criticize or ready to criticize what it is that you have to say? And for a female in her position, just like being a female in my position, trust me, people are far more ready to criticize than they are to give you credit. You have to win them over in a different way in that arena. And so she has done all of that and is certainly ready to make this jump to Duke, though, of course, now begins the process of trying to get acclimated and talk to her students, her players, and even looking ahead. We don't actually know what's going to happen with basketball in 2020.
This game has always been about players. Certainly, if you ask any player, they'll tell you that it is. But even as a coach, it is. It's about the players. And so I've tried to spend my first few hours or a couple days reaching out to our players, to past players as well, and then to some hopefully future players.
The recruiting rat race. It's one of the reasons that I could never be a coach in college. I coached at some of the other levels of basketball and did some private lessons for kiddos, for high schoolers when I was younger. But, man, that recruiting rat race never stops. You're in the middle of a season, and you're already thinking about the years to come. But congratulations to Kara. Pretty amazing for her. And like I say, she's used to dealing with pressure both as a player and as someone who's operated in the basketball realm for a long time. And she's used to being a pioneer. She's now the first ever Black head coach of Duke women's basketball. And she's someone that will have that spotlight on her just by virtue of Duke being next to her name and in her title. But if there's one thing that we know Kara can handle, it's definitely pressure. Also, it's kind of cute. Everybody was separate, of course, because they weren't in the same place. And she's in the bubble in Orlando. And she spotted her mom, who was also on the Zoom call.
Mom, I saw you. You wore Duke blue. My mom's on the call, everybody. There's my mom. She got the right color, so that's pretty exciting. So I didn't have any blue in the bubble, so I did my best.
That would be my mom. My mom would somehow figure out how to crash the Zoom call and would be part of it for sure. Yeah, really cool. I'm so excited for Kara. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line sponsored by Geico. Did you know right now Geico offers an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? And that's on top of what Geico can already save you. What are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. Before we move on from the Orlando bubble, and kind of we're kind of making a segue here, not a huge one, but we'll get back to your calls and your social media posts after that. Of course, by now you've likely heard the news that Russell Westbrook tested positive for COVID-19. He's asymptomatic, according to Russ. He's feeling good, and he is in his quarantine wherever it is that he's living, but he's in his quarantine. He did not get to Orlando. He tested positive before he got on the team plane to get into the bubble. And so now, of course, he has to go through a series of negative tests and then has to travel to Orlando. Then we'll have to sequester there for at least 48 hours before he can be granted entrance into the bubble. But this is why they're doing all the testing. This is the point of doing so many tests, so that you do catch it before anybody gets into the bubble and takes the virus with him or her. I'm just thinking about Kara. Former NBA head coach Avery Johnson on CBS Sports HQ.
This is going to be problematic with a few teams, even in the bubble. There's a possibility that somebody's going to contract COVID-19. And the big deal is going to be what systems in place do the NBA and their teams have to make sure that they isolate and quarantine, they contact trace. But I'm glad that Russ contracted it and he's not with his team, and he never got on that flight to go to Orlando. So hopefully he'll have a speedy recovery. He says he's feeling better. But we have to, the NBA is going to have to prepare if one or two or three players on a team contracts COVID-19 in the bubble, and what are they going to do about it to continue to play games and don't have any disruption in the schedule.
Interestingly enough, as Avery Johnson is talking on CBS Sports HQ, he mentions the bubble and he mentions the NBA testing. Well, the league announced its test results, the latest round on Monday. 322 players tested since arriving in the bubble. Two were positive and have obviously had to leave the campus to either isolate at home. So whether they traveled back home, or there is this special isolation housing, which they've set up in Orlando as well. So if someone does end up with the virus, however they get it, they can then go over to that isolation housing, quarantine on their own. It's not probably like a Big Brother house, but quarantine on their own or with others that have had the virus. And then when they go through two tests that come back negative, theoretically they're allowed back in the bubble. And so it's not all that different from what we're seeing in other places. For instance, my grandmother, she is in Wisconsin at this nursing home, and they've also set up this whole area where they have isolation rooms so that if a resident tests positive at her assisted living facility, they then would go into that isolation wing of her facility. Thankfully, none of the residents has had to use it. None of the hundreds of people who live there have tested positive. But as Coach Johnson talks about, you are going to have players who end up in a situation where they've tested positive. Since July 1st, so we're talking about the last not even 2 weeks, since July 1st, 19 players have tested positive. Now, not all of those guys are inside Orlando's bubble. And I'm not even know how they got in there with the virus. That's a little bit of a concern. But with the repeated testing, I say this over and over, I repeat it myself. With the repeated testing, you catch it, you hope, before it gets passed on to anybody else. But did you guys hear the stories of the two players who they accidentally, quote unquote, left the bubble and broke their protocols already? So there were a couple of different players, one for Sacramento, one for Houston, who swear they didn't realize that they were breaking protocols. Is that like when you speed and you get a ticket or you try to tell the police officer, oh, I didn't know what the speed limit was? Too freaking bad. Ignorance is not an excuse. Figure it out. But yeah, there was one for the Sacramento Kings who left the bubble to pick up a food delivery. To me, that feels like common sense, but what do I know? He says he accidentally crossed the campus line at Disney. So he, listen to this, he was in his room doing the two-day quarantine so that he could enter the bubble clean. So in exchange for his trouble and accidentally crossing the campus line, he now has to spend 10 days in his hotel room. So you leave, you accidentally get outside the bubble, and now you get, for your troubles, an extra 10 days in your room. Could you imagine? Forget your house where you have almost all the creature comforts. No, this guy has to quarantine for 10 days in his hotel room. Oh, no, that really would stink. But that's the whole point. You better make sure you're familiar with the campus lines. You're familiar with the borders and you know the grounds and you don't come anywhere close. So we know that once you're in the bubble, if you're caught leaving for any unauthorized reason, then you end up having to go through a 10-day quarantine before you can be re-entered into the bubble, so to speak, as well as the extra testing that comes along with it. So yeah, both these guys, one for Houston, one for Sacramento, indicating that it was an accident. It was inadvertent. They didn't realize that they had stepped outside the bubble area. I guess this is not so much like the Hunger Games, where you were actually in a bubble and you couldn't get out. Do you remember the second Hunger Games where Katniss shot the top of the border of the bubble or the dome? Yeah, no, figure it out and then stand back from the line.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.